Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
We used to not have above five numbers on NBA jerseys. Now we're seeing that because refs couldn't do like seven, like
72 or something.
Yeah,
like that?
Well, how do you do that, 78. Right? You have to
remember
like
Sean Bradley wore 76, and right. You're just like going like it's 76.
Yeah,
like, it takes too long.
Yeah. Well, if he was going to foul somebody, you could certainly see that.
You didn't need to put a number. Yeah. It was pretty clear.
Tall guy foul.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, coming to you live from Seaport District, Pier 17, brought to you by Chase, Alan Hahn with Key, and Cassidy. Hubberth joins us right now
in
studio.
You'd be back.
Good to see you again.
Thank you for having me.
And we were just talking about numbers.
Three out of the last five shows or something
this
like that.
The thing. This is the thing, though.
You're on a roll.
Once
you are,
here,
yeah,
huh?
Once you're in, like you're, with tractor beam, it's just right, pull right, you in, right. And you can't get back out. But hopefully you don't want to. We were just talking about numbers.
Yes.
And jersey number thing, because Key is big on jersey numbers, and you said you don't like Ohtani wearing 17. You
just don't look right.
Does this weird number,
no,
17?
He just, yeah, because he just need like a 29 or something like that to me. 17 just
why?
Don't look right.
What do you have against 17?
Well, how does
it just doesn't look
better?
Right.
But what looks right? So
like
why
a 29,
is 29
a 23.
Why does 29 look right?
Because he's so good that the number pulls the swag down. Because if he had a better number, his swag game would be up to me.
Dang, like, why is 17 swagless?
It just
like, looked, who had 17 that, in your history, that you're thinking about, you're like, that number is bogus? It has to be that, because there's no, you know, if you just feel a certain way against about a number.
It's like a, there's like a that, rep.
There's
a rep.
That's
okay,
a
so
thing.
Here's what I'll tell
that's
you. Who has 17 that you feel good about in any sport?
Now, here's the thing. I'm not
you're going to say Plexico Barris, okay. Plex, the only dude that I could jump right off the top of my head. Like, Phillip Rivers ain't got no swag. It don't even look right.
P.J. Tucker wears 17. You don't
it don't
like that?
Look right.
And that, I mean, you can argue
right.
He's a swaggy.
Dennis Schroeder
the
wore 17. That don't, it's just, ugh.
That's
all the hot
that's
dudes.
It.
That's
is it. Dennis
it.
Always
no, it's not. It's not a Laker thing. But think about it.
He's mad about Dennis Schroeder.
That's what
Yo,
it is.
You
know
you
what?
Wore,
he's
yeah, not
you
my point
nine.
Guard.
I wore nine. Yeah. It, yeah,
nine rocks. That's a hot dog number. A single
nine
digit.
Nine
that rocks.
What's a hot dog number? What's that reference?
That means like just you like diva ish. You can go. You just got everything. Just everything about you just look on
Key.
Point.
You not making sense, but I understand.
Why?
You're making, you're like, in your mind, you're making sense, so I respect
see,
it.
She don't get the number thing.
I don't. I will be fully tell you. I don't, like, I follow
like
it, the
like
NBA
imagine,
very closely.
Like,
but
think about
you
it.
Can't,
football?
I would fail
Yates,
a number
Yates,
test. I would
Yates,
fail
our producer
numbers
Yates is with
matter,
you.
Man.
You hear Yates say numbers matter.
Numbers, I feel the same way.
Sam Darnold wore 14. That's an ugly number.
That's a quarterback
imagine
number.
If 14? You put, imagine if
yeah,
you put imagine if you put Brett Favre in 14. That wouldn't even look. That would be like, ugh.
No, but like,
think of Brett Favre
should
as 14.
Be 1 through what, 20?
Not even.
Not
no,
even.
I would keep it to like 1 through 15 maybe. I would keep it.
Yeah, 1
like,
through 1 through 15, but certain like, guys
give me a 13, give me a
look
12,
a certain way in a certain number.
10.
Like my quarterback that I won the Super Bowl with, Brad couldn't wear nothing but 14.
Yeah, but here's
because he
here's
looked
the
like
thing.
A 14.
Like,
he looked like a
okay.
Here we go now.
I mean,
now.
23 wasn't 23 before Jordan made 23, like, mm-hmm. You know, the iconic number. Maybe Ohtani is about to put 17 on Front Street and Center. Get with it. Just like get on the Ohtani train. Get on
Ohtani,
the train.
Ohtani, if you
train.
Out there listening, man, let's switch up that number. Let's go to 7 or something. Let's let's just do that for me.
By the way, my man Nuno pointed out a great 17.
Who?
Keith Hernandez. You talking about swag? Oh,
no, no,
oh,
no,
no,
no, no,
oh, I
no,
know
I'm
he's
thinking,
old, but Keith Hernandez
no, I,
had swag
I
and
it.
Still has swag.
I get it. Keith Hernandez has swag, still has swag. I get it. I understand that.
That's
Keith
a good
was great.
17.
He was a great Met. I guess it was cool. I guess it was cool. All right. Anyway.
I'm
explain
clearly
to everybody
not
why you chose,
as passionate.
Why you chose 9, though. I love this little
well,
backstory.
I mean, my dad would get mad at me for saying anything but that it was his number. But also, I gravitated towards it because it was Jordan's dream team number.
Right.
And, you know, I didn't want to be – I mean, grew up in Chicago, so I'm a – you know, the Bulls are the reason why I'm in this business. But I didn't want to go obvious 23. So I was like, okay, let's
right.
go.
You come out with 23 and you get the eye roll. You
and,
come out with 9,
yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah.
And Ron Harper was my favorite Bull.
Oh,
so
Ron
was,
Harper.
Yeah, Harp was nice, though.
Yeah.
But Harp were 4 –
and 9.
He and
wore
9. He won
yeah.
4, yeah, 9. See, hot
but
dog numbers.
He was
numbers.
At the Cavs, I think, right?
He, yes, yes, he wore.
Single digit hot dogs,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Wait, what is, wait, Pat, Pat just said something in my ear about Ted Williams.
Yeah, I wore 9 in baseball because of Ted Williams.
I wasn't born then. Let's move along.
I mean, you
Pat's
now
12 said years old. How do you even know who Ted Williams is?
I wasn't born then, though, man. I know who he is, but I wasn't looking at numbers back then because I wasn't born.
Look, if you're playing baseball, you want to model yourself after one of the greatest hitters ever, right? Ted Williams. Come on, man.
I guess so.
Well, you didn't do a good job after modeling yourself, but that's a whole nother conversation.
All right, well, let's continue talking NBA with Cassidy, and we have a game tonight. I'm calling this a Devin Booker game.
So is Mike Budenholzer.
Good point. But don't you feel like, because in his finals he's shooting under 40%. He's had a couple games now where he's struggled. They look like they're trying to lock him down. But, you know, as we were trying to create what he can be, and I think Devin Booker really has done a lot for his image as one of the great, one of the next up and coming stars in the NBA, if not now arrived. This is a game where, okay, let's see what you're about. They've made adjustments to you to make this game a struggle.
Yeah.
But this is a huge, you know, you lead your team to win this game. You are right there to win a championship. What do you have tonight? I'm watching Devin Booker tonight. This is a Devin Booker game.
Yeah, I mean, Devin Booker is under the pressure of a superstar. Even though this is his first NBA playoffs, let alone NBA finals, like the criticism he's getting right now is superstar criticism. Because ultimately you could say, like, all right, he had an off night, a real off night in game three. But he was pretty good in games one and two. I will say, though, ever since he broke his nose, he hasn't been the same as he's been dominant, as he dominated early on in mm-hmm. these playoffs. I believe he hasn't shot over 50%. Hembo just relayed this stat to me, and I'm hoping I heard it right, but he hasn't shot over 50% since breaking his nose. And I think early in that Clippers series, we kind of, you know, credited, like, hey, he's dealing with the mask, the no mask, like getting hit in the face, you know, maybe it's in his head. Maybe that's carrying over a little bit to this series, but also they're keying in on him.
It was game one of the Clippers series when he broke his nose? That was
no,
Pat Beverly?
game two.
All right, so since then, 35.9% he's shooting from the field.
So, I mean, whether you want to
give him an out or not?
Yeah, give him an out there or not. There has been some drop-off since he, you know, hurt himself there. You know, Devin and Chris, they are the head of the snake here, even though I say that Ayton is the X factor for this team, as we saw in game three, having him off the court. They just can't do that against Giannis.
Yeah.
But, you know, on the off day, Devin and Chris, they watched game three tape in their hotel rooms in Milwaukee. They tend to do that on off days. They live on the same block, by the way, in Phoenix. So they go over to each other's houses on off days to study film. And Devin, he said yesterday, he just needs to have a short memory. DeAndre Ayton said, though, like, this dude is scary when he's coming off a bad performance. And so they fully, just like you, Alan, they fully expect him to be on his A game. But I will say the Bucks have been inside of him in this game. That's their game plan, what they learned from game one, that they need to throw multiple looks at both him and Chris Paul, especially in that pick and roll. And I give credit to PJ Tucker. I know a lot of people were clowning him after game three, given that he, you know, got dunked on by Cam Johnson. But if you watched PJ Tucker, he was very disruptive. And a cool, interesting note for basketball nerds is that, like, you know, PJ Tucker was on the Suns when Devin was drafted. And Devin credits PJ for developing his game. And so PJ knows the secrets, if you will. And, you know, we've seen, you know, we give credit to Chris Paul and LeBron James for being these, like, fountain of youth, you know, like doing this at 36. The way PJ plays at 36, throwing his body out there, you know, he's not going to wow you with his stat lines, but if you're watching just his grit, I think he activated this Bucks defense in game three in that first half. And I just have so much respect for PJ Tucker, just his journey. And that's a big body for Devin to go up against, him and Chris Middleton, which, you know, we're seeing a lot of looks that the Bucks are throwing at both Devin and Chris. So, you know, I do expect a good Devin Booker game. But it's not going to be easy for him.
No, it's not supposed to be, not when you get this deep into it. I like what you said about Tucker, because I don't think he gets nearly enough respect around this league.
No.
Maybe the players, you get him.
He's the ultimate tough guy. You think about his sneakers. You think about his clothes.
He's got that swag, too. Yeah.
What was it, like 2 years ago with the Rockets? He played in the series like just immediately after getting a root canal. Like, it was the 2018 playoffs. Yeah. He had a root canal.
Yeah, guys like him, I'm telling you, guys like him are the ones that you feel like that they're the glue guys on championship teams. And he was a great pickup for the Bucks. I thought the Nets could have used him. You know, this. You know, when he was available, there were a couple teams you're like, boy, he goes to that team, it could really change him. And he's been effective. He can guard anybody. Undersized, he'll guard bigs. But he'll also go up against a guy like Devin Booker and try to shut him down. And that's what makes this game, to me, again, the compelling thing to see is a young star in Devin Booker. Can he overcome it? Because it's not supposed to be easy at this level. And let's see if he can certainly make that difference. Cassidy Hubbard joining us right now in studio, giving us a straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. But coming up, like, when we talk about Booker, let's go on the other side of things, talk about Giannis. And we spent the last couple of days talking about Giannis and where he really is, not just among fans and media, but among his peers. And there's a couple of good examples I think Cassidy can bring to this conversation, and we'll get into that coming up next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, and Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Devin Booker is the next Kobe Bryant.
The mentality, you know, people say the mama mentality, just the approach of, you know, doing whatever it takes, you know, at all costs to get a win. You know, it might not be 40 points next game.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Was that against Cameron Payne? Who was that again? Did you see Cassie?
I didn't see.
Like that
Cam
move
Johnson?
Was,
I don't know.
He's going right, and the next thing you know, his arms go up in the air, and now he's left.
He's so long, though, and nothing you could do with that.
In one step.
He's already
on
at
Bridges.
The rim.
It was Mikal Bridges. Okay, the monitor's too far away, and I'm old. My eyes don't see.
I wasn't paying.
Cassie Hubbard joining us right now in studio. Keyshawn Allen-Hahn in with you here. So I want you, and Cassie, this has become a discussion. So I want you to hear something that Steve Novak, former NBA player, sharpshooter, mm-hmm. also does TV now in Milwaukee for the Bucks.
Yep.
Yes, the discount double check.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously intimate knowledge of what's going on with Milwaukee, but also with Giannis. And this is the setup. Is I know there's been sort of this discussion over the last couple of days, and it's something I just needed to know. Why, when Dame Lillard has a logo 3? You go on social media and it's just every blue check NBA player is just, you know, fawning about the shot. Steph Curry has like a big third quarter, knocks down like 6 or 7 threes in the quarter. Everybody's just going nuts. Giannis goes back-to-back 40-point games in the finals. Crickets. There's really no...
You mean on social media?
Yeah, I mean players.
Players.
I'm not talking about fans now. I'm talking about players.
Just players,
current,
superstar.
Former, you know, whatever it is.
Players
especially
in the NBA.
The stars of the league. You're just not seeing that same enthusiasm for what he's doing. And I don't think – and I've talked to some current and former players, and it's not a lack of respect for him. It's just this lack of enthusiasm. And some people even said to me, you know, what James Harden said, you know, last year February 2020. Yeah, they had their little beef, and what he said, he's like, "That's how guys feel." So, you know, remember what Harden said was basically,
He doesn't have any skill. I mean,
right? What I do is skill.
Like, be a point forward and take three steps from that. Was some skill.
So we had Steve Novak on, and like I mentioned, Novak certainly knows some stuff. So here's what Novak said about that whole situation and why Giannis might not be in that, you know, that circle of friends. Take a listen.
If you followed Giannis and watched how he's kind of gone about his journey, it's always been about being the underdog, being the guy who wasn't as respected, who wasn't going to be able to do it. And so, you know, when LeBron invited him to work out in the summers and he said, nah, you know what, I'm good. I'm actually trying to be your greatest competition. I'd rather not. He got invited to be in Space Jam. He said, nah, I'm good. You know, he didn't want to create a super team. I think he's gone about it this way. He signed a 5-year extension to stay in Milwaukee, which, I mean, if you think about it, that's kind of, it's mind-blowing. I do think that's part of it. Some of it's his style of game that he plays with that makes his sex appeal not quite that LeBron, D-Wade type star level appeal, but he loves who he is. He wants to work his butt off and be better than everybody else.
And see, what Steve was talking about there, I brought up to you, Han, prior to these conversations about his style of play. It's just like, okay, I'm like in the Harden category where I got big shoulders, I'm big, I'm a bully ball, and that's what I'm going to do. And there's nothing you can do about it, which I would take on my team in a heartbeat. Cassidy would know, I wouldn't even bat an eye if I'm getting 40 points a game from my star player and we're winning a ton of games and we're in the finals. No question about it. But I also understand where James Harden is coming from when he made those comments. And a little bit of that was back and forward, kind of whatever, little beef going on. He does have athleticism. He does have skills that you hadn't seen in quite some time in a big man like that. But I think when you start to do anything other than the paint, it makes people discredit your skill set in the NBA. He's not a pure shooter. He tries to shoot, and it's like, man, he misses free throws, and he doesn't play with that aggression that a Shaq would play with. And then there's that comparison to a Shaq. Like, I watch a highlight. He goes around Crowder. He dunks the ball. But it's like, I dunked it opposed to let me break the rim.
Right.
So I think a lot of that has to do with the way some of the NBA current superstars may feel about it.
Okay, I remember, this is how I'm looking at this discussion. First and foremost, the conversation on NBA Twitter. I think you have to take into account Team USA is going on right now. People are not as plugged in as the you know, on their phones. I'm not seeing a lot of chatter in general. I'm not seeing a lot of people talking about CP. I'm not seeing a lot of people talking about Devin Booker as far as, other than John Morant, who seems to be tweeting every 2 seconds. I'm not seeing a lot of conversation from players. I'm sure they're watching, but as far as being active on social media, I mean, LeBron James has Space Jam going on right now. You see a couple, you know, tweets from him about CP being like one more, or like two more, three more, whatever. But I think a broader conversation about how Giannis is respected, I think it comes down to he's just not boys with a lot of the guys out there. Novak just pointed out like how he turned down, you know, working out with LeBron in the summertime. Like, Giannis's story is not just a Cinderella story, if you will. But you know, he wasn't playing AAU with these guys. He didn't grow up playing basketball with these guys. He didn't develop that relationship. There is a respect. And I also feel like, I mean, Chris Paul was asked about this yesterday in media availability about, like, you know, Giannis not getting certain respect from players. And he goes, he's a 2-time MVP. What do you want? And if like, this is my assumption, like, this is not reporting in any way, but my feeling from across the league is this guy has two MVPs. He doesn't need any more outpouring of respect from us, because, you know, some may argue that, like LeBron should have won, you know, two more MVPs instead of Giannis. And so there's that battle among superstars.
And Harden believes that 2019 he should have won.
And you brought up the point of in the break about like they mess with Luka, but yeah, Luka hasn't won.
No, but that's what I was about to ask you.
Luka hasn't been crowned a king yet.
No, but I was going to ask you, Cassidy, how come it seems like that they rock with Luka? Luka can go off in
Let's see when he wins
Luka
MVP
went off in the playoffs
and when he's in the finals.
No, but I'm saying when he went off in the playoffs, everybody was like, all those dudes was tweeting out and doing whatever they do on social media and having a ball about Luka being the guy.
But it's also, I mean, to your point, it's also his style of play. I mean, like, he's lethal out on the perimeter, which is sexy.
Yes.
You know?
That's where I'm going with it.
So that's what, it's easier to drop your jaw at, like, a step back three in today's game than it is to see a back down, you know, punishing.
But I guess for me, I'm not a social media guy. I see things with my eyes, and I'm well informed around leagues and people and things of that nature. It's almost like dunking the ball every time. And I'll take that on my team, don't get me wrong. But it's like they're tired of watching a bunch of dunks and no championships, so to speak, right? I mean, if he wins this final, then I think that changes a little bit because...
Yeah, but what that changes, though, is putting Giannis... If Giannis pulls this off... This puts him in.
That's
like
what I'm saying. So that
upper echelon.
So that conversation will change.
And when upper echelon, this is not just like a guy like Damian Lillard, who is nice but hasn't sniffed the NBA Finals yet, where you crown him one of the best ever. Like if Giannis pulls this off, two-time MVP. Finals MVP most likely and a champion that brings them into a conversation. KD, LeBron, like that's a hard thing for a lot of players to swallow.
I was about to ask you that. You mentioned swallow and hard and all that sort of stuff. Let me ask you this question: Do the players feel that it's somewhat media forced? Even though he's the MVP and he won, he's scoring and he's doing what he does. Do you think players feel it's media force to make him something bigger?
I just think, you know, when you don't know somebody, you fill in the gaps yourself. And so I just feel like as much as we've known about Giannis's story, he keeps to himself. It's him and his brothers, okay? Like, it's him, Thanasis, Kostas. Like, I just feel like, to your question, Key, I just don't think like these guys know him, and so they see that he's getting these awards and winning. And you know, like that makes you decide whatever you want to decide about him.
Cassidy Harbuth joining us here in the studio, our ESPN NBA reporter. I'm going to offer this because it's something a couple of days ago when Jay and I were going back and forth about it. I think it's also though the game part that you mentioned and that we've been talking about. Steph Curry has a signature move, right? People emulate a move that he does. Kobe, you emulate a move he does. Like, the greats have something about them that is like you can do that. You know, you try to emulate it on the court. You know, Giannis's game doesn't really have that kind of
a three-step from the half-court line.
How many human beings can do that?
And that's the point.
You
how
can't
many human
emulate
beings can do
that.
What no. Steph can do?
But you,
as much as people say,
but you can emulate it. You could try. You can practice. You can
Trae Young doing it. Right? I mean, he's trying it.
You can't do one dribble and get to the rim from half court like he can.
So you're saying you can't relate.
Maybe that's
Giannis.
What it is, a relatability, or
well,
even just
that's why Greek Freak. Bobby Portis said, "Whoever came up with Greek Freak, that's a great name."
Oh, it's perfect, right?
It's a perfect name.
Yeah. But again, everybody I talk to, it's not a disrespect. It's not a he can't. But it's clear what he can do. I just think there's something deeper to it that I was just confused about. I know it's social media. We shouldn't get caught up in it. But NBA is like any other sport. To me, NBA is a sport where the players seem to have such an enthusiasm for other players, the way they react to them, that this was something I felt might be missing. But maybe you're right. It's July. The finals are now. Not normally have them.
A lot of famous people in the NBA. And there's a popularity contest, like a little bit of high school in certain regards. And Giannis is just kind of like by himself.
The guy sitting on the,
you know, sitting
at the lunch table by himself.
Like,
huh?
I love your disdain for this topic, by the way. You are giving me such a look like you really wasted my time.
Not at all. No, because it's a conversation. But it's just like it's hard to generalize. Just appreciate greatness.
Yeah.
I like him, though. He cool. No, I just don't think
he's
Shaq.
There it is.
I mean, I don't think he's Shaq, though, but
he's
cool.
He's just not my dude.
Cassidy Harbuth.
That's That's what it comes down to.
You can catch on Hoop Streams before every game on NBA Finals. Always great to have you
Thank
in.
You.
Sorry to waste your time.
He's
with
cool.
It. I had fun
That's
with
what
it.
He's cool,
but
34, good number for him. Got a long last name. You
yeah,
need a big
absolutely.
34
is good
number,
man,
right?
I like him.
You can do one hand, 3-4.
I like him.
Coverage of Game 4 NBA Finals begins tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. Cassidy, thank you as always. Coming up next, will Aaron Rodgers play in Green Bay this season? We discuss more of that after SportsCenter.
For Vladimir Guerrero Jr. crushed it 468 feet later, and he's flexing, pointing to his bicep as he goes past Tatis and takes his time around the bases.
John Shamby with the call, ESPN Radio, as the American League beat the National League 5-2 in the baseball All-Star game. Vlad Guerrero stole the show. Vlad Guerrero Jr., that is. He had a home run in the third inning. He captured MVP honors at 22 years and 119 days old. He became the youngest All-Star Game MVP in Major League history, the youngest player to hit a home run in the game since Johnny Bench in 1969. To the Olympic prep, anyway, Team USA beats Argentina 108-80. That's after they lost two exhibition games to Nigeria and Australia. So they bounce back, get the win, the 28-point win, second largest by a Greg Popovich coach team and the largest in an exhibition game under Popovich. Staying in basketball to the NBA, Kawhi Leonard, the Clippers announced that he underwent surgery to repair a partially torn right ACL. He was injured during the fourth quarter, game four of the Western Conference semifinals against the Jazz. That was back on June 14th, and he missed the final eight playoff games of the Clippers season. The team was calling it a sprained right knee. SportsCenter, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at Progressive.com. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Let's move back into the NFL conversation. Our good friend Jeff Saturday joining us right now.
Jeffrey!
On the Goodyear Hotline. Brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Jeff, are you a big number guy, like jersey number guy? When you see a jersey number on somebody, you're like, man, that doesn't fit you. That shouldn't be your number. Like, are you big like that? Did you care that much about your number?
Man, I'm an offensive lineman, dude. We don't care about nobody's numbers, man. Like, I don't care what anybody wears. Hey, I just want to be able to identify who it is. The hardest part about all this number changing is if I got a number 8 who's a defensive end, you know what I mean? Like those things, he's playing backer and end. He's going back and forth. Like, that part gets a little more confusing. But, man, ain't nobody – we ain't pretty enough to worry about numbers. Y'all know that.
Hey, Jeff, let me
ask
you –
Jeff is 63. Like, when you look at Jeff, do you think –
He's an offensive lineman, man. It doesn't really – as long as he don't have a single digit, he's good with me. Right? I mean, he's got to be in the 60s to 50s.
This is a big deal.
I mean, if he's a center, he should be somewhere in the 50s. And then after that, it's whatever. As long as he doesn't dive into the 80s, that's tight ends. Mm. I mean, he's an offensive lineman. But you mentioned, Jeff, you just mentioned identification. And I was wondering about this because I think I know football and I think I know how to recognize defenses or whatever the case is. I'm identifying the position. So how does a number affect when you need the mic is the mic, whether he's wearing 0 or 55, the position, he's the mic. If I'm calling out the mic, he's in that position. So how does that affect you on the offensive line or the quarterback for that matter? If there's a different number.
That's a great question. So here's the deal. It's not just necessarily the mic, Key. So when you start talking about, though, when strong safeties, linebackers, and ends now can have all kind of, you know, similar numbers, right, is it's when guys start walking in and out of the box. We call it like jicky-jacking, right, going back and forth, and an end becomes a linebacker, a strong safety comes in, you're identifying past the mic, right? So you're trying to pick up numbers of what guys are. So when you're prepping for the week, you know, is that safety playing linebacker in this nickel? Is he really playing safety? So it's all about being able to identify. And you and I both know when they start walking all those guys down tight to the box and everybody starts getting in there, identifying those numbers numbers of which guy is playing what role is what becomes more difficult. It's not the, you know, the simplification of the mic. I'm with you on that. It's everything else. When guys start standing up, walking around, right, he puts his hand in the dirt and then gets up and then walks out to the linebacker position. All of that movement becomes difficult because, you know, you're talking through numbers, where in the past it was, hey, you knew if he had, like you're saying, double digits, you know, we're going to count him as a hand in the dirt guy. Now yes. You can't necessarily do that. So it'll just be more prep work going into the week. Once you get to Sunday and Monday, you know, but the prep leading into it just makes it more difficult.
So now I understand more because of the prep. It was like when the Redskins, at the time, it was the Redskins, but it's the Washington football team now. They would have that blitz where they would bring somebody off the edge and they would drop the defensive end from the other side. In the end, it was the same defense. It was just confusion at the line of
That's
scrimmage.
Right.
And it was much easier probably for us as receivers standing up and being able to see it than it was for offensive linemen with their head and hands down in the ground.
That's fascinating to think about, too, having a disciple. 100%.
100%.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, the biggest difference for offensive linemen is when your hand is in the dirt, like Key's saying, you can't really see past the heels of the linebackers, right? So, you know, that's why so many guys stay in that two-point stance now, Key, so they can pass information back and forth.
Washington thought they were slick. They would bring the defensive end from the other side and have him run all the way across while the guy blitzes off our head. We was like, oh, okay, we're just going to run out. Y'all just lost. But they, you know, the first time they got
Zone
you,
blitz.
And then after that, it was like, yeah, we getting ready to kill this.
Right, yeah, you see it once, that's all that matters. But speaking of numbers, Jeff, how about the most important number in Green Bay is, of course, number 12. And I've been feeling all along that it just feels like Aaron Rodgers, you can deal with all of the, you know, the drama of the offseason and some of the subtle hints that he has put out there, or maybe not so much a hint, not saying anything while still talking. But I just always felt like in the end, can't see him sitting out. You're a competitor. You want to play. And Adam Schefter just recently had a report where, you know, from what he said, he's still not happy about Green Bay, not happy about some people there, but loves his teammates, loves his coaches, and, you know, has never really said, I'm not coming back. So do you feel that it's more likely we'll see him at the start of camp? Or do you feel like, you know, Key for a while there was saying there's no way he's coming back, but even Key's now coming around?
No, he's going to play for the Packers, man. I mean, listen, this is what grown folks do, right? You're going to end up playing. You don't like your boss, and you're going to end up getting over it because you know ultimately you like your coach, you love your teammates, you enjoy what you're doing. To your point about being the competitor that he is, he's coming off an MVP season. Listen, there's nothing that is less discussed than an athlete that's not playing, right? Like everybody who's been injured understands the team moves on, the organization moves on. As a football player, where Aaron Rodgers is right now, and especially where the Packers as an organization is, it's his best opportunity to win a Super Bowl as well, and the Packers. So, you know, for all the talk, I don't think it's going to happen at the beginning of camp. I think he'll hold out longer than that, maybe all the way through to the first week of the season. Ultimately, I think he comes back and plays because of those things. He wants to play. He wants to show everybody how good he is. He's still the MVP of the league. All of those things, all those boxes he wants to check. Watching football next year is not what he wants to do, and the Packers ain't giving him up.
This wouldn't be the preseason to start up the football if we didn't talk about the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. What are the expectations for them, Jeff? Can they win the NFC East?
Absolutely. I think offensively, this is going to be a top, probably a top eight or top five offense. I think Dak coming back, getting healthy. I think the offensive line getting healthy. The biggest question mark in Dallas is the defense. What can Dan Quinn, the new defensive coordinator for the Cowboys, do to get this defense right? If you think about even last year, you know, when Dak was having these, you know, miracle comebacks and all the things, the defense was just so bad, he was overcoming that the offense played wide open. If they get back into a mentality where Zeke, it can be the lead, the offensive line's healthy, and the defense is even mid-tier, Key. Like this doesn't have to be a top 10. If this is a top 15, top 18 defense, this is going to win the NFC least, where everybody wants to be 500, man. I mean, it's like every year this is what it is. This is the offense that can strike and hurt you, and ultimately with the Washington football team, team in the division and who I think they're going to have to beat. If their defense can just hold serve, this team could be one that makes noise in the NFC East and potentially in the playoffs.
Jeff, we're getting closer and closer to training camps. Key says you can smell it. Can you smell it?
Heck yeah, man. Ain't no doubt. Listen, your body clock as a player, even as we get down to this, my body starts telling me, you know, it's time to get back into the grass, man. It's time. It's just one of those things, man, that as long as we play in the game, it's one of those things. It's the body clock and your timing, and we're all there. I can feel it, Key. I'm with you.
Yeah,
I
absolutely love it. All right, coming up in just a couple of weeks, all the teams will be on the field. Jeff, always great to catch up with you, my man. Be well.
All right, Jeff.
Appreciate y'all.
Jeff Saturday, our ESPN NFL analyst on the Goodyear Hotline. So as we were just talking about the Cowboys there, he said absolutely they should be the favorites in the NFC East. But why would they not be the favorites? One expert said so. We'll discuss coming up next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, do you have a read?
No, there's no reason.
You're holding a piece of paper up.
Because I'm getting ready to fold it up. Mind your business.
When you hold a piece of paper up, it gives me the signal.
Sensitive.
Yes, a little bit. KJZ, ESPN
Radio. Well, he's been
Radio.
Wrong a lot lately.
I've been wrong today a lot, yes. Sirius XM Channel 80 as well.
So we think Dak, Ezekiel, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup. Oh, my God, they're going to win everything. And then they forget, oh, yeah, well, there's actually three phases to football.
Even if the Cowboys are middle of the road on defense, they should be a top five offense.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Key. And we will get into wide receiver rankings a little bit later on in the show as Jeremy Fowler has been putting out his list from each, his top ranked wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks. We've done this for a while, so I'm curious to see what you think of the wide receiver thing. We'll get to that in a little bit. But we were just talking with Jeff Saturday, and as you know, he believed, as he said, when it comes to the Cowboys, can they win the division? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So they're pretty firmly that he believes they could be a top eight, top five offense, and their defense certainly has to come around. But he
I had them winning like 13 games.
You're saying 13
games.
They
might be a little high. They may be a 12-win team.
Okay, but so with that in mind, and I mean, there should be some high expectations for the Cowboys this year with Dak Prescott coming back, because before the injury, that offense certainly was humming. Lewis Riddick, though, we had on yesterday, and Lewis Riddick felt completely different about the Cowboys as potentially runaway favorites in the NFC East.
This is the result of the fantasy football world, fantasy football mindset that we live in. You know, we think Dak, Ezekiel, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, oh my God, they're going to win everything. Oh, that's right, they have Zach Martin coming back, and he's going to be good again. So. And then they forget, oh, yeah, well, there's actually three phases to football. And we know that the defensive phase of their football team was awful. Now, we also know that Dan Quinn better get it right. And they drafted six players consecutively in the draft this past year. So we know that there isn't a whole lot more that they could do to get worse than they were last year defensively. But they're not runaway favorites in the least.
Not runaway favorites.
And that's okay.
He brought up Washington as a team with that defense, especially.
And that's okay. Look, Ron Rivera was on with us a couple months ago, and he talked about the recipe for success. A solid defense, running the ball, and a quarterback that's not going to screw it up. I've been saying that for the longest. You look at the Super Bowl champions, what did they do? They had a quarterback that's not going to screw it up. They ran the ball with Fournette and Jones, and they played stellar defense. So I understand – that Washington can be right there with them. There's no question about it. But based on the roster and the things that they did in the offseason and in the draft to upgrade their defense, you can't possibly tell me that they didn't address some of those issues. And then getting Dan Quinn, who also is a quality defensive coordinating mind in the National Football League. We saw what he was able to do in Seattle prior to what he did in Atlanta, taking them to the Super Bowl. Then they obviously lost the Super Bowl. But,
right.
You know, he got them there. The defense at times was pretty good. I just think that they upgraded where they needed to on the defensive side of the ball. Stay healthy on the offensive line. Stay healthy.
To me, is that the biggest concern? Like, you want to talk about defense being the biggest concern for them. I just feel like for Dallas, the last couple of years, it's been that. It's been the healthy part, especially the offensive line. Offensive line has struggled to stay healthy. And when they have struggled to stay healthy, obviously it's a major impact on that offense. Suddenly, Zeke can't be Zeke. Dak
Their defense has been subpar for quite some time.
I know. That's been an issue for them for a while.
Yeah, their defense has been.
So you think, if you had to say a level of
confidence. Even when the offensive line was healthy and everybody was rolling, the defense was not good.
Right.
They were just not good.
So if you're talking about level of concern, I'm thinking of things that would keep the Cowboys from reaching a potential that some people think they should have. Would it be their health or would it be the defense?
Well, you can't. If you're not healthy, it doesn't matter.
So they've got guys that have been banged up.
Let's start with the health on both sides of the ball. They've lost linebackers. They've lost guys because of health. If they stay healthy and the defense can do what most people think that they're capable of doing, which is not allowing as many points as they did a year ago, then this team is going to be poised for some success.
Because they can score.
They can score.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can certainly score.
Of course they can.
Look, it's the defense. It really is. Health-wise, I'm assuming they're going to stay healthy. If a guy tears his knee open, you can't do anything about that. But you can certainly do something about your defense.
You can do something about your defense by, I don't know. Like, I feel like that's a controllable. That's why I feel the bigger concern is health, which the history of the offensive line has been that they don't stay healthy. They can come into camp healthy, but will they stay healthy? Smith was one of the best in the league, and now you wonder if he can play a full season.
Everybody has to stay healthy in the league. In order to have a chance, you got to stay healthy. If you're not healthy, just look at what happened in the NBA.
I get that.
Guys were falling – the teams were falling off a cliff – once they lost a few players.
But you know this better than anybody, that once you have a line – first, they've been together a couple of years. Most of them, I guess, right. But Smith was the best in the league, right, wasn't he, at left tackle? Like, he was the best.
Yeah, he was one of the top two, three guys.
And how important he is.
Yeah.
I mean, can he play a full season?
I don't know. I'm not the doctor, but he has to play.
You can control a defense and how bad it plays versus how good it plays.
Yeah,
but based on your system, based on talent, and based on your coach, which they made the change.
They don't want to. We're tired of 39-42. We're tired of that. We need to see some 24-23s. We need to see that out of the Cowboys. We need to see some 19-24s, not 39-42. You don't want to – that's not going to help you.
I totally
if your
understand.
Defense is giving up the yams like that, you're not going to win a lot of games.
Which is why wouldn't Washington really be the team that you would have more faith in that division? Because they have the defense already
in place.
I have
the faith because I like the defensive coordinator and I like what they did this offseason in the draft in upgrading certain positions. That's the only reason why. And I think that they have a better quarterback situation by far. Even though Fitzy is doable, but what if he has to throw a bunch? Like, what is that going to look like? That's the only part that scares me. Is he serviceable enough to not screw it up when we say throw it?
Serviceable enough. Yeah, I don't know. I still believe in the defense.
See, because when Tom Brady needs to throw, I know he's not going to throw it to the other team. I'm not worried about him.
Yeah, well, Fitzy doesn't have that Fitz tragic as much in his career anymore. But, boy, if he could just manage, that Washington team is going to be good.
Defensive, they got to run the ball, too.
Everybody wants to love Dallas. But one thing you can trust in Dallas is there's always going to be some drama that keeps them from being the team they're supposed to be. Jay Will joins us next.
Huh?
Talk NBA Finals.